Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Unified Caring, Caring Moments podcast. UCA Caring knows no bounds. We endeavor to be wherever caring is needed and help create caring communities everywhere. Please be sure to follow us on Twitter at Unified Caring and check out our website, www.unifiedcaring.org, to see the many ways you personally can benefit by becoming a member. And now, here's the show.
Good morning and welcome to the Caring Moments podcast. My name is Karen and I'm your host today. I'm so excited to have Lynn Michelle join the show and discussing the four elements of managing emotions. Now, with an endless list of emotions such as fear, anger, rage, joy, optimism, love, and then through the plethora of all of them in between, it can be rather difficult to ride the ups and downs, especially when it's a wild ride and you're being hit with so much. You want to ensure that you make it through to the other side, emotions intact. So sometimes they happen so fast, they're hard to define in the moment mentally, however. And then physically, they play across our face and throughout our body, whether we're aware of it or not. So what is at the core of it all? Lane is going to offer some great practices for managing our emotions. Welcome, Lane. I'm so excited you're back.
Thank you, Karen. So excited to be back, as always. We cover a lot of different topics, don't we?
We do. We do. Well, there's a whole lot to go to, caring, right?
Oh,
whether it's self-care or, you know, community care.
Yeah,
there's a
lot. Exactly.
That's why we have so many interesting topics.
Exactly. And today's topic in particular, really important because no matter what form of caring we would be talking about or any of the topics we could cover about living as a human has emotions baked in, there, whether we know it or not. As a matter of fact, you know, if we really uncover things, unresolved emotions cause about 90% of the conflicts in our life. The other 10% of those things that come to us and respond to, but truly, underneath the surface, there are so many unresolved emotions that if we did deal with them before the eye of the storm hits, before problems come in, we just become much more adept, much more clear, and we communicate better as we're going through something that is transpired that would, you know, tweak the emotions or would create a conflict. So hold that thought, listeners, hold that thought in your mind. 90% of the conflicts in your life are the result of unresolved emotions, things that could have happened so early in life or yesterday, and you didn't resolve it. You just tucked it away. You put it under the sheet. you covered it all up. You plastered it. You cemented it. You know, you did something like that. And Karen, we've seen that over and over where and we've done this ourselves. We explode. We don't even know why.
Yeah, well, we've talked about that a lot with, you know, because we have the great tools for kids and adults.
Yeah.
And with the cards, you know, and teaching children very early how to deal with emotions because we don't have a instruction book. And when we're so young or even in a teen or even today, something happens that we don't have the tools to work with based on, you know, age and mental acuity and those types of things. And and so we just bury it away. And then we are constantly we see these repeating patterns, I think, in life, too, because of my own personal thought. But,
I
think it's all because of unresolved. We never knew how to deal with it.
Exactly. And it's true. I mean, the power, if we really take that in, 90% of the conflicts in our life are from unresolved emotions. Well, wow. Well, let's get to work. We can eliminate so much conflict, just a portion of that by dealing with the emotions. So that's really at the core we're going to talk about. And by the way, right at the top, you mentioned Sunbuddy and Moonbud. These are Unified Caring's emotional solutions kits for being able to deal with emotions. We're going to touch on those today because fundamentally, the four elements managing emotions, a key part is having to do with in positive psychology, emotional opposites are a key tool for being able to surface and then clear emotions. And so we'll definitely touch on that as we go through.
Great.
So how about, you want me to introduce the four elements and then we walk through them?
Oh, please do.
Okay.
That's a great article, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, this is an article on the UnifiedCaringCommunity.com blog titled Four Elements to Managing Emotions. You can get to it directly there or from UnifiedCaring.org. You go to our, at the top navigation bar, you see blogs and you click on the Caring Community blog. The Caring Community blog itself, you'll see listed as Caring the UCA Way. And so Four Elements to Manage Emotions is a part of that. Well, number one, the first element is that emotions drive mind and body. Sounds pretty simple, but here's a few facts that, you know, the progression of emotions driving mind and body that we're not all fully aware of. First of all, the heart feels and sends mind messages. In fact, there's research and studies that show that the heart is the first sensing tool we have on our feeling capabilities. That includes our five senses, taste, smell, touch, hearing, sight. The heart is before all of those and sends a message to the mind almost to prepare us for what's coming. Imagine that. I mean, the heart starts the entire emotions process off. So we have a lot of language about, you know, heartfelt and, you know, full heart, all these things. Well, there's a reason, because the heart is step one. And then the five senses, you know, when we're talking about nanoseconds here in seconds, but five senses then transmit bodily feelings to the mind, whatever it's receiving. And then what does the mind do? Well, feelings and the consequences that are remembered, those patterns, Karen, you just talked about, well, those feelings and their consequences are remembered by the mind. You better believe it. It knows when I feel this, typically this is what happens. And so the mind, our survival tool, ego a big part of it, mind responds. You know, okay, heart told me this, feelings are coming in. Uh-oh, here's the pattern. I know what this is. Mind responds with physical changes in the body, upwards of 1,600 biochemical and hormonal signals sense. Within less than a second of the senses coming in, the mind responds.
Right.
It reacts.
So fast.
Right?
It's so
fast. And then guess what? Well, congratulations. Once those 1,600 biochemical and hormonal reactions get launched by the mind, your body sustains a reaction with all those chemicals to the mind's instructions, whether you like it or not. And that can be sustained for hours after just an instant of some feelings triggered emotions that the mind reacts to. That is how we are wired. You know, and the heart at the center of things, well, our heart listens even if our ears are closed. Our heart feels even if our mind is overactive. Our heart connects even if we're trying to be closed off. And our heart transmits even if we try to hide our emotions. Now think about that one. So this heart that is sensing, it's the first step in the whole process. Well, guess what? It's a pump. It goes, you know, pumping your blood through, and it sends electrical signals to create the pump. It creates an electromagnetic field around your body. In fact, if you just at your chair, whatever, where you are listening to the show, put your arms out as far to the side as you can. That may be about 3 feet out from your body, greater than a meter. Well, that's as big as your heart field is. In fact, it could be a lot bigger, but that's what science has measured. Your heart field, the electromagnetic pump that your heart is creating an electromagnetic field all around your body. It goes out 3 feet around you. And so, but the science...
In all directions?
Stop at that. All directions. 3 feet,
all directions.
All directions.
Up, down. Everywhere.
Up,
so you're like in a circle or an oval of
exactly.
a three-foot electromagnetic energy field pumped by your heart 3 feet out.
Continually maintained by the heart every hour, every moment, every second of the day. When you're sleeping.
Wow, we don't even have to think about that to happen. And it
I don't think we could think about it happening. Our body keeps that going. But let's take one more step. Let's take this one more fun step here. Another fun fact. Well, scientists hooked up all kinds of, devices to be able to monitor that electromagnetic field of our heart, that whole heart field, let's call it. And guess what they found out? They found out that they can name an emotion in our heart field with 70% accuracy. Imagine that.
I can't.
I mean, imagine
that's 70%.
So, even if you think you can hide your emotions, you're not. You're transmitting them. And guess what? We get within other heart fields and we're feeling what the other person is sensing because the heart is always sensing. So it's right at the top of the show. We don't get this manual that teaches us about our emotions, let alone how to be a human being. But I'm telling you that there's great new science in this last 20 years that people aren't caught up with yet that shows progression from heart, the five senses, to the mind remembering patterns of these feelings and then naming, creating emotions, and then responding with biochemical and hormonal reactions of the body. And the body sustains that set of reactions for quite a long time. And so that's first step one. Recognize the power of emotions to drive mind and body. Okay, so we got that. Step two, emotions have opposites. This is maybe the best news of all, and it's the foundation for the emotional support tools we provide to children and to teens, adults. We have the Sun Buddy tools for 2 to 12 years old, and then from 12 to 112 is Moon Bud, and they're age-appropriate devices and ways of working with emotions that have opposites. So the key with emotions have opposites is, well, first, you got to learn the language of emotions. As you said, Karen, there's so many. I mean, people have counted them, and there are hundreds upon hundreds of emotions that could be named, and learning that much is quite a bit. So, what we do for children, we give them the 20 most common depleting or heavy emotions, and then their opposites, the 20 lighter and renewing emotions. For adults, it's 40 of each. And so what does that mean, depleting emotions? Well, these depleting emotions, I mean, we know, when we feel some of these heavy emotions, anger, sadness, depression, anxiety, they feel heavy. And they really do drain our energy away. And the interesting thing is that once you get the idea and understand the tool that every one of these depleting emotions has an opposite renewing one, they're paired. And once you know that language of emotions and you remember how it feels to shift to the uplifting emotions, you shift from a depleting to a renewing one, you have a second foundation for how to manage your emotions. The first is just even know physically and mentally how we're wired to work with emotions. Second is knowing that every one of our heavy and depleting emotions has an opposite renewing in a lighter emotion. Well, that's pretty good news, right?
Yes, it is.
Because
that's excellent news.
Then we have a foundation as a human being to make a choice. We can do step three, the third element, not step three, the third element is that depleting emotions can be identified pretty easily. Once we got the idea of emotion opposites and learned language, well, then depleting emotions, we can pause when we feel emotionally depleted. We feel heavy, we feel drained. Any of those things that your energy is lowered, just pause and then breathe. The number one tool to access your emotions is breath. The number one tool. You take a deep breath. You pause, you take a breath, and that breath alone helps to calm the heart which then, guess what, starts that whole process of communicating to the mind sends signals to, you know, to calm, slow the system, become more aware, and be able to then listen so that you can name a depleting emotion that you're actually feeling. I mean, so I think, Karen, it's probably good to even point out that in the middle of the eye of the storm, until you shift things to open up something, you're just not going to get to a language of emotions or identifying, right?
Right. Right, because how could you?
Yeah, and so I love an article one of our writers, coaches, Mona Nyree Stevens, love her to death. She wrote an article that's published on one of our blogs, Becoming the Eye of the Storm, where she deals with that very moment, you know, so the eye of the storm being that when everything's about to explode or is exploding, well, don't fight fire with fire. And what she says is, you know, feel deeply and release emotions in constructive ways because what lingers hinders. Well, that sounds familiar, right? That's the 90% unresolved emotions. What lingers hinders. I love that phrase. And then she says the other two steps, attitude is key and stay grounded. And staying grounded is that breath that, you know, have an attitude that I can be calm in a turbulent time. And I can take that breath. I can name, identify a depleting emotion. So, I mean, she did a great job with that article, Becoming the Eye of the Storm, to set us on that path. And that takes us to the fourth element. I'm sorry. Was there something else, Karen?
Oh, no. I was just going to say Mona is so great in her writing. You can feel as she's feeling, and you can totally get, I mean, you can totally get the energy of Mona that comes off when she's writing. And I think that her writing style helps so many people. She's just, she truly is an amazing, amazing author and just an amazing human. I love her to death. Right. She's so great.
And she is all of that and just, you know, such a diligent coach and contributor. She works a lot of nonprofit work. She's just an amazing being, still developing. It's beautiful. Thank you. I agree. Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
So let's get to the fourth and final element to managing emotions, and that is resolve repeating emotional conflicts, which is deal with that 90% of unresolved emotions. And there's a very simple, ancient process for being able to resolve repeating emotional conflicts. Four steps, name, claim, tame, and aim. So name the depleting emotion. You got the tools now. You know your mind and body, how they are responding to emotions. You know emotions have opposites. You know once you define name the depleting emotion, you're on a better path already to be able to, number two, claim the opposite positive emotion. Claim that you're having that depleting emotion and that there is an opposite. So in that case, you know, if we were going to, you know, take something like depressed, I'm feeling depressed, then I name that. I'm feeling depressed. I claim the opposite positive emotion. It's uplifted. Like the absolute opposite of depressed is uplifted. You can just in your mind see people you know who are depressed or who are uplifted. Look at their face in your mind's eye. Look at how they feel. How does their heart feel when you're near them? Do you feel depleted or do you feel renewed? It's a great one for our days. These depression and anxiety are rampant with the turbulent times we're in. So just stay with depression, the opposite, uplifted. Then you get to such name and claim and tame. You tame by shifting with a pause, then a breath. Again, back two. We can move out of that depleting emotion. We pause, we breathe. We know where we're heading. We're going from depression to uplifted. And then aim to feel uplifted, to feel the opposite positive emotion. Now, that's the process. It is literally that simple, and it is that hard.
It is both of those things. It really is. Because so many in the moment don't realize it's upon reflection.
Right.
Of, say, an event. And then we relive that event. And then in that event, we can then, well, this is how I was feeling. And
mm-hmm.
how did I get myself to here? But one has to pay attention, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely, mm-hmm. absolutely. And so paying attention, here's the tool that is, we actually have this available to not just our members, the public. There's a scientific organization I've been connected to personally for a long time, Institute of Heart Math. They study this very area of heart and mind connection and how do we actually get to the stage of resolving repeating emotional conflicts to, you know, be able to aim to that opposite positive emotion. And so one of the mm-hmm. things that's very valuable is a biofeedback tool, a tool that helps us
yes.
see what state are we in right now. So they have the inner balance sensor and app that allows you through your breathing and through the way you work with your breathing. There's a very specific style of breathing that is the shortcut to be able to, you know, pause and reset to be able to get into motions. And the short, by the way, big, deep, 5 seconds in, 5 seconds out from the belly to the chest kind of breathing. That is, by the way, the shortcut. So 5 seconds mm-hmm. in, 5 seconds out. There's all kinds of other tools that you can learn with that inner balance trainer, the biofeedback device. Biofeedback devices are an important tool, right? This fourth element, the name, claim, tame, and aim. The tame, you got to get feedback. You got to know your body and how it works with mind and emotions. And so, you know, you get to that stage, it's like, okay, I want to feel uplifted. And the moment you make the choice, you already have begun to shift. You've already made a big, big change. And the scientific
right.
you know, underpinnings of that have been proven over and over for well over 20 years, coming up on 30 years actually, that once you take that breath, you already start shifting the depleting heavy emotion. Once you identify the opposite positive emotion, you begin shifting even further. You continue to breathe, and you move into a place where you welcome what you know is that familiar uplifting emotion. Now, to be sure, you're pushing the process along. You're shepherding. You're making it happen. But as you do that, guess what happens? Your mind responds with physical changes in your body. Just like it did on the heavy and depleting side, this time it releases the opposite. It releases those uplifting, renewing emotions that begin countering what your system is going through. I'm not going to get into, you know, the whole autonomic nervous system and how it works and whatnot. You can look that up and go to
mm-hmm.
Institute of Heart Math. There's a great resource for that. But the reality is, the same process that moves you to depleting can move you right into renewing in this fourth element.
Well, let me ask you a
That's
question.
Yeah,
with regard, we'll choose an emotion like apathy. I've talked to mm-hmm. a lot of people lately, and they're just, you know, there's like so many of them, they just kind of lump it into,
mm-hmm.
you know, apathy. And the
uh-huh.
opposite of apathy is, you know, trying to is excitement, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would that be
it's
right?
Passionate. Yeah, passionate. Excitement.
Yeah, passionate,
exactly.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So in that moment when you are feeling apathy because so much is going on currently, you know, all across
mm-hmm.
the United States, and a lot
yeah.
of people have that due to, you know, these, depending on what state you're in, with lockdown restrictions and things like that. And we're still
mm-hmm.
locked down. And, you know, and people are just tired and they're getting angry and they're just
mm-hmm.
losing interest.
Yeah.
And I said, well, how can you lose interest? How can you, you know, be so apathetic when there's so much passion around you?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because
right.
I think even in the apathy, they're still passionate. They just don't realize that they're passionate
yeah.
about their apathy, you know.
Right.
So get passionate about
True.
That and then shift yourself out, right? Would that be your
that
recommendation?
That is Absolutely. Yes, that's brilliant. I mean, just take that phrase. Be passionate about your apathy. Right there, you're already releasing the body's response to shifting, to renewing emotion. And, and as you do that, then you'll be able to reach the next step, you know, to, you know, being passionate about maybe something that is just right in front of you that you just aren't seeing because you were apathetic. So apathetic is that, just as you said, it's lack of interest, lack of emotion, it's listless, it's
right?
And then passionate, think about the difference, enthusiastic, strong, compelling, feeling, and big, excited emotions. And so you know, if you really are excited, if you can get excited about your apathy, you might, that's the ultimate irony, you'd be shifting and then you wouldn't be apathetic anymore.
Exactly. Get excited in that apathy.
And
move on, right? Because you know, my belief is, you know, it goes somewhere unreleased. Right?
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, and
here's the thing is related to this.
Go ahead,
Karen.
No. I was just gonna say that, you know, a long time ago, and I do mean a long time ago, when I first started meditating and I felt like I had to have a private space, right? And I had a walk-in closet, and so I made my space in my walk-in closet. And my kids were younger, and my older kids were younger, and they knew if my bedroom door was shut, do not come in there, right? And so I made this you know, the space that was just for me, and I could, you know, get all, you know, very formal in my meditation. It took me, you know, I've learned that I don't need a formal meditation spot to just sit and breathe and let go of my thoughts, which is truly what meditation is. It's just to let go. I can do that while, you know, pulling broccoli apart for a dish or something. You know, you just get so focused on what you're doing, you know, your mind is then free to roam, and you're not focused on any anger that you had, or you're not focused on any, you know, lack of anything. You're just focused, and your mind is just going, and you actually just kind of get a breath. So is meditation, would you say, a faster way to get from A to B, where you don't necessarily, I mean, because you're then retraining the brain muscle.
So think about meditation covers, it can cover all four of the elements, you know, you know, if you do that kind of, because you're putting your body into a receptive state. You're putting your mind into a letting go, so therefore a receptive state. You know, a number of people, to be able to do the third element of identifying depleting emotions, will use meditation or mindfulness techniques to pause and breathe and just be able to listen. You know, an active, busy mind can't hear. And it won't hear your heart, which really is going to tell you which emotion that you're naming. And so, absolutely. Very, very important. There's one other element, too, which Melissa Aparicio, another one of our writers and a coach, brilliant, brilliant point is that we're, in terms of dealing with emotions, one thing that's very interesting about the English language is that words identify us with emotions. For example, it's normal to say, I am mad, I am sad. Okay, well, in other languages, this is very insightful, other languages such as Spanish, her, you know, native language, German, my, you know, wife's original language, those languages roughly translate, the expression is, I feel mad or I feel sad. You see the difference? When you say, I am
I
mad,
totally see the difference.
You're encoding yourself. You're instructing your mind and your being to be mad. As opposed to, I feel mad, you're naming something's going on. And so English, the challenge is English offers no separation between you and the emotion through language. Whatever we say or think, you know, or hear often becomes our belief and begins to stand true. But ultimately, remember, you are not your emotions. Rather, emotions happen to you and for you, or lay under the surface as unresolved. And so as we give emotions a proper place, we can say we feel, just like you said, I feel apathetic. but maybe I want to feel passionate, you know, or I want to feel passionate about my empathy, right? But, you know,
I think the moment you I am anything, you own it, rather than I feel so much better and it's exploratory rather than written in stone. So I do my best to be very careful with where I place that I am, because I understand that I'm telling my mind, this is it.
Exactly. So hopefully these four elements introduced to to our listeners, that there we can manage emotions, and 90% unresolved. Well, let's get to it. Let's do something. Name, claim, tame, and aim is the shortcut to really being able to manage emotions.
I love it. I do. That's so great. And that's a great article too. And again, where can people check out the article?
They can go to unifiedcaring.org. That's Unified Caring Association's main website. And on the navigation bar, look at blogs. As you hover over, you will see Caring the UCA Way. Click on that, and you'll get right to Four Elements to Manage Emotions and a lot of other information. And you can go deeper and deeper into this with the tools and what we provide, not only to our members, but to the public, to promote more caring in our world.
Right. Amazing. The Unified Caring Association is truly a godsend for more than 170,000 members. But even the people who aren't members are still gaining much benefit by a lot of the free stuff. Lean, thank you. Thank you so much being my guest today. I appreciate you more than you'll ever know. And I hope you have a great weekend ahead. All right?
Beautiful. Thank you all, and thanks for having me back.
All right. Take care. All right, and that is it for this week. Next week, we are going to check in with April. I apologize for my last week. I forgot how many Thursdays were actually in April. So next week, we're checking in with April and our special guest, Sarah. And I am so excited about this new Unified Caring Partner. I think you will be too. Don't miss it. Thanks for listening. Have a great one.